Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back. And now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. How you guys doing? Happy spring! Spring has sprung. I don't know about you guys, but here in LA, the weather is looking up and it's looking beautiful. I hope you guys are getting some sunshine wherever you are and the weather's starting to warm up. I know it's not really fair for me to say that in LA, things are getting warmer. You don't want to punch me in the face right now, don't you? But no, it's really pretty. So anyway, before we get to my amazing guest this week, I just want to make sure y'all are following me on Instagram, I'm trying to do some more Instagram lives and IGTVs and just talk a little bit more to you live and in person. So make sure you head over to Instagram and follow me there. I am at the Divorce Survival Guide. And if you are a woman and you're not in my Facebook group, you need to get in there. I haven't sort of plugged my Facebook group in a while, but I just want to say that my Facebook group is different from any other divorce Facebook group out there. And I'm not just saying that because I think so, but it's what they tell me. And I have been in a few of them when I was starting out my group and I was like, whoa, this is some scary shit. I monitor the shit out of my Facebook group. I do not allow people to just vent and bash, and it is a place for learning and growth. So if you are interested in learning and growth, and if you are interested in being challenged and stretching beyond where you're at right now, then I invite you to join my Facebook group. It's for women only. And you'll find the link in my bio. But if you just go to Facebook and you type in, should I stay or should I go? My picture should pop up, and I think it's the same one that's on my podcast art. So you will recognize me, I hope. And I invite you to join it. Please be sure you answer all of the screening questions. I will not let you into the group if you do not answer all of the screening questions, because I take the screening of people very seriously. So the group is not open for divorce professionals. I love you guys, but this is my, you know, this is my space for me to do my work. And unless you're my friend, and then you can come and join. So let's talk about today's guest, Dr. Elizabeth Cohen, who can totally join my Facebook group. Dr. Cohen is a clinical psychologist. She is the CEO and founder of the online divorce course and membership Afterglow, the light at the other side of divorce. And she is the CEO of the Center for CBT in New York City. Dr. Cohen's online course teaches women how to heal, grow, and thrive after divorce, no matter how difficult the process has been. Dr. Cohen also has just written a book, and we are talking about that because it is coming out this week. It is so exciting. It has the same name. The book is based on her Afterglow program, and it's called Light at the Other Side of Divorce, Discovering the New You. So without further ado, please help me welcome my dear friend, Dr. Elizabeth Cohen. Dr. Elizabeth Cohen, welcome back.
I'm so happy to be here. It's such a highlight of my week. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Aw, I adore you. So, oh my God, you have a book coming out. This is so exciting.
I know. It's like I had another birth. I was saying, I'm like birthing this thing that came. I wrote this book for people who were like me. I don't know if you were going through this during your divorce, where I at that time, it was about 11 years ago, I sat on my bed with my laptop. I don't know if I had taken a shower in days, you know, my kids had finally gone to sleep, and I typed in like divorce recovery or divorce healing. And I just, back then I couldn't find anything. And you know what that message told me, Kate? I realized you have no hope. like give up, right? Like, because there is no, like, and so now if someone can see, oh, there's a book written on it. I have an online program. Oh, and it's called Light at the Other Side of Divorce. Oh, maybe there's some hope. And so I didn't only want to give tools and strategies and help and guidance. I also wanted to give hope because I needed that so much when I was going through it.
I love that. That's exactly why I created my program, because there were no answers, right? When I was going, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? I was, you know, Googling, looking for the for the burning bush, right? And there were no answers. Yeah. So that's exactly why I created my program, right? To give people answers.
Yes, to help and to guide. And if there are answers there, then that means you're not alone. Other people are asking the same question, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So this is amazing. So it's called Afterglow. I think this is like a genius title. Afterglow, the light at the other side of divorce.
I love yes. it.
By Dr.
I know. That's right. That's me. I know, because I really want people to, we still have such a stigma in our culture around divorce. You know, people still walk into my office and say, oh, my daughter went out with this really great person the other day. They're great, except they're from a broken home. I mean, what? This is 2021. We're still calling it? Yeah.
What?
I hear that on the regular.
We're still calling it a broken home.
We're still calling it a broken home. I mean, what? So we need to shift this tremendously and also realize that if you're getting divorced, you've been marinating in those messages for your whole life. And so feeling like a failure if you're going through a divorce makes sense given all the messages. So I have a chapter in the book where I talk about challenging assumptions. And I really suggest that we think about, imagine if you thought about your divorce as, my relationship has come to its perfect conclusion. It has given me, right, everything that I needed, and now I'm ready to release it. Like, how different would your whole process be if you could see it as something that was completed, again, rather than something broken?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's in your, is that your, the chapter called Divorce is Not So Bad?
Yes.
I love. Divorce is not so bad. Yes,
divorce is not so bad. Come on, let's talk about it. Let's figure out why you think it's bad. Like, let's really challenge it. And as a cognitive behavioral therapist, that's what we do. We take these assumptions and we challenge them and say, what evidence do we have? You know, everyone carries these. I mean, this is why your story, my story are so important to share, and all the people we know in the world who are talking about divorcing differently, because we only hear and we only see on TV the shitty stories.
That's the tabloids are split. You're, you know, online at the supermarket, tabloids are splashed with them. You know, it wasn't, I always say it wasn't until Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin split that someone publicly came out. And as much as we like to make fun of it, right? But we publicly came out and talked about conscious uncoupling. And right. It was a radical idea. Way radical. And it happened radical. Years after my divorce. So when I got divorced, that was not, like, nobody was talking about it.
No. And then for me, when I got divorced, I had two young kids. So it was also this idea of really shifting. I talk about this in the book. Instead of saying like, oh, no one's going to want to date me because of all my baggage, I said, okay, how can I change that? How can I shift my thinking? Because self-talk is self-hypnosis. And I said, I am going to meet someone who is going to appreciate all of my experience that I have. And P.S. maybe not have pressure to have children, which was great for them.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I wrote an article. Oh my gosh. Probably 10 or 12 years ago, before I even started my business, about why you should date a single mom. And that was one of the reasons, like, we have kids, like, we're not pressuring you to have babies.
Totally. You know? Totally. And I know for my husband, in the relationship I'm in now, which is so wonderful. And people always say, like, actually, it's interesting, like, to watch words that we use. Of course, we're always talking about this, but people will say, oh, he didn't want his own kids, or he doesn't have his own kids. And he always says, I do have my own kids. They're, and then he names our children, right? So he never, and so I think there's this assumption that there's mine or yours. And the truth is, he was a bit afraid of being able, I think if he had married someone who didn't have kids, he might've been afraid of having children. But with me, I came with the pack. He came with the package, and he has just dove into fatherhood in a way that I think he wouldn't have. So he says this to me all the time. Like, I always say, oh, you know, it's such a gift to have you. And he says, oh, you are all such a gift to me, because he wouldn't have been there.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
It's possible. Yes.
In LA.
Yes. He does. He does. Let's talk. He's from California.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
But I do think this is so important, sort of challenging the stigma of divorce, especially when you're going through it. One of the things that makes me so angry is that many states require this co-parenting class sort of at the end. It's like the last thing you do before you get your divorce, right? It's like, oh, and it's great, except that many of these classes that are state sanctioned, the first thing they do is talk about how terrible divorce is and that like really what you're doing is screwing up your kids by going through this. Now, this is like the last thing that you do before like the final papers, right? You just have to get this class and prove that you've taken this class. How on earth is that helpful? And talk about stigma, right? Talk about stigmatizing. There's a great program that I've recently found. They're one of our sponsors, Center for Divorce Education. And their program, they have a great co-parenting program that most states you can opt for. This is like free advertising for them, by the way.
Wow.
But right? They don't do that. They don't stigmatize it. They take the assumption like, okay, I mean, for God's sake, if you've gotten to that point,
right,
you've already been through all of the grief, all of the guilt,
right? And also, you know, research does not support that. Research shows that it is better for children to be in a home where there is one parent than to be in a home where there's two parents who are constantly fighting all the time. We know that it's developmentally appropriate for kids to think that when there's stress in their house, that they've done something wrong. So it is actually like scientifically wrong also to be doing that, despite like being morally awful.
Exactly.
I love that idea of divorce education, the center for, I love that, right? I'm such a stickler for words being a cognitive behavioral therapist. And I just love the idea of like divorce education. I talk about, you know, getting divorced kind of like going to graduate school for relationships, like uplifting you, moving through, going higher. Like, let's talk about that instead of it bringing you lower.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's such an opportunity.
Yes.
This is an opportunity. I remember I tell the story a lot about this date that I went on early in divorce, and the guy had been divorced for 2 years. And so we were, and I was like newly divorced. And so we're sitting at dinner and I said, like, so what happened? They didn't have kids. So what happened? Like, what's the, and he's like, I don't know, man, the best I can figure it, she had a psychotic break. She just decided she didn't want to be married to me anymore. And that was that. And I was like, in the 2 years that you've been divorced,
that's your conclusion.
She had a psychotic break. I'm like,
wow. Right.
This is the opera. This is time. This is the time to
This is the time. And I, you know, I had this moment where I was sitting in the playground with a bunch of other parents. And one of them said to me, hey, I don't see your ex that much. Like, what's his deal? And I was like, okay, ready? Here come the stories. And I just went off. I just said every bad experience and story that had happened. And in the moment, they were like nodding and tearing up and being all empathic. And I felt good when I was telling it. When I walked away, I felt like shit because I thought, first of all, that's so painful. Like I was telling it like it was a story, but it was actually my story. So ouch, like ow. And I wasn't going to move forward at all if I was going to keep telling these stories. And so it was really when I was walking home that day, pushing the stroller, I thought to myself, you've got a choice right now. Like you can focus on his inventory and you can keep telling these stories that are very colorful, very interesting. Or you can figure out how the hell you ended up here and why you've been in it for so long. And that, as we've talked about so many times, I can only change me. That I can change. So it was an education, honestly, Kate, on me. Yep. I figured out who the hell I was.
Yep.
And I stopped trying to figure out who he was.
I want to make sure everybody goes and like hits the rewind button. You know how like on podcasts, you can like go back 30 seconds, do that and listen to that again. Because that's really, that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Like we can continue to tell these stories or we can focus on ourselves. Right. Yeah. And that is the choice. That is literally the choice.
And I have chills because you know what, you and I know from doing this work, that's the moment.
Yeah.
That is right. It is. The fork in the road.
That is. It absolutely is. It literally is. And by the way, you know, if you read Elizabeth's book, you'll know, like there was a lot of inventory for you to take of his, right? So, and for me too, right. There's a lot that we're very justified in taking their inventory and in sort of telling the stories of the bad things they've done, but it's still not helpful.
No. And in fact, I have a chapter called Righteous Anger. I know people love that. Great. We're totally on the same page. Yep. So the reason I bring that up is because I use that phrase in particular. It's righteous anger. Like girl, dude, like you have got every reason to be angry. And in fact, usually we think of righteous anger with social activism or, you know, some sort of political activism with the word righteous. You have every reason to be angry. I'm sure you do if you've gone through a divorce. I want you to be able to feel that and process it, but I don't want you to push it, either push it down so it comes out sideways or focus your anger on the other person. This is your emotion. Feelings are all excitations in the brain. They have no valence to them. Happiness, joy, surprise, they're the same neurochemicals as anger. So we just need to allow ourselves to feel it. And I specifically talk in the book, really feel it physiologically, because we hold trauma in our body. And divorce is a trauma. And we need to allow the movement of this energy, this fight response through us. We just need to, in order to be a better parent, to be a better partner to whoever we work with, to be a better citizen in this world.
Yeah. How do you recommend people do that?
So what I recommend is to think of, or you can use my suggestion, a song that you can listen to that really just makes you feel the rage. So for me, it's Killing in the Name Of by Rage Against the Machine. And I put that on and I just want to punch the air. And I was sharing with someone that I actually, the first few times I did it, I noticed I wanted to do this kind of backwards punch where my elbow went behind me. And that is actually a movement I do a lot when I'm releasing anger. I think it's this feeling of get off my back. Actually, I didn't even know I needed that. I took a kickboxing class in the beginning. Did you do that?
Yep.
Oof. That was powerful. And I didn't even picture like the person's face or anything. I just the release was so amazing, right?
Oh my God. People always ask me like, how do I get through the anger? How do I express the anger? You know, all of that stuff. And I'm like, go fucking punch a bag. There's nothing cathartic. Go punch and kick up the shit out of a bag. Don't do like a Tai Bo air thing. Actually make contact.
It's amazing. It's amazing, right? And you can do it on the floor. Sometimes I'll just bang my feet or bang my fists. Like I also need contact and just to release again that energy. And there's no judgment. Feelings aren't facts, as we know. Feelings, releasing your rage in your room, listening to music, or I had to do it in the bathroom, is not going to mean you're going to go out and hurt somebody. In fact, if you do it in your bathroom, you will not. You will not be that person having road rage. You will actually have allowed your anger and your righteous anger. So please, as a gift to anyone who knows you, let yourself feel your anger in the safety of your home.
I love that. And I think it's so important. I think it speaks to also like toxic masculinity, how we don't, when we do not allow our feelings out specifically through our body, it does come out, but it comes out, as you said, sideways. It comes out with guns. It comes out with punching your wife, whatever it is, right? It'll come out.
Yeah. Passive aggression. You know, I hear, you know, people say all the time, which by the way, I just want to say, I think we need to rephrase being passive aggressive as aggressive. There's nothing passive about it. Right. But I tell this story about how I would go to court. We were in litigation. So I would go to family court and I would hear like the door would open when the court officer would come. And so you could kind of hear what was happening in the case that was finishing up. And I would sometimes hear women in particular shrieking like, how could you do this? You are so horrible to their ex. And I have to tell you, I was jealous. I was like, damn, I want to do that. Like, I want to just release my anger and my rage. And my lawyer would see me and she kind of pat me on the knee. And she would say, when you get home. And So the urge to lose it is totally understandable. The question is, where are you doing it? Because how does it end up hurting you? If I had raged like that, but you know, unfortunately, we know that these judges, many of them are sexist. And so they're going to think, oh, a hysterical woman. And then that's it. Right. And so I was saving myself when I didn't lose it, but I understand. I just want to say to people, like, I understand the desire to lose your shit.
Totally, totally. But court is not the appropriate place. Because even if the judge isn't sexist, they'll like, oh, you can't actually, you're not taking necessary steps.
Right.
Right. You're not actually taking necessary steps to heal and present yourself. If you can't hold it together in court.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that
totally, you're right. And most judges are not sexist. Most of them are kind and loving. And you're exactly right. It's a sign that you're not fully taking care of yourself and you won't be able to make the good decisions. When you clear out your anger in that way, you allow your emotional part of your brain, your amygdala and your frontal cortex to communicate more clearly. And that's what we need during a divorce. We have to make so many decisions. We have to make so many choices. We want to have as much clear thinking as we can.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Let's talk about the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex so that people understand. I mean, you and I know what we're talking about, but just in case.
Yeah. Great.
What is that question and why is it important?
Yeah. So during a trauma, and again, I consider divorce a trauma because a trauma is anything that is different from what you're used to. So you're driving along and things are going okay. And then boom, something that happens unexpectedly. Do you think of that, Kate, as a trauma going through a divorce?
Absolutely. And yeah. I think also everything leading up to it, right? Like,
yes,
there were so many traumas that led you to this moment. And then yes, there's everything else afterward too. So it's multiple.
Yeah. You know. Great. Right. Just wanted to make sure for you to say something about that too. So in trauma, what ends up happening is like everything, we think that we only process things in our mind, in our thinking mind, but we process it in our entire body. So in our brain, the base of our brain, the oldest, most primitive part of our brain is called our amygdala. That's where we have emotions. And it's not very discerning. It's like sadness, anger. Like it's just very primitive. It's the oldest part of our brain. It's a mammalian part.
Sometimes is referred to as the reptilian brain or the lizard brain, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then we have the frontal cortex. We have lots of other parts of the brain, but for our example, we're going to talk about the frontal cortex, which is the front of a brain, which is really like the CEO. It's the more rational. It's the newer part of our brain that tells us that, for example, oh, maybe I shouldn't lose my shit at court because the judge might consider that behavior negative. Like it's a part of you that can rationalize, that can delegate, that can make choices. And so what happens when things are going great, our emotional part of our brain connects with our frontal cortex. For example, when we used to go to work, we'd come home from work, be pissed off at something our coworker did, come home, see our partner, you know, hasn't cleaned the kitchen yet, feel frustrated, you know, get ready to get upset with them and then say, oh, you know what? I just had a really bad day. Let me go take a shower. That's the moment where your frontal cortex comes in and says, okay, emotion and lizard brain, there's a reason for this. There's context. Let's go do something else.
Yep.
When you go through a trauma, those two parts of your brain don't communicate. There is a break in that. And so your ability to rationalize and understand your emotions and basically be logical is deeply impaired. Mm-hmm. And so we need to do a ton of things to help that lizard brain come down from its flare up so that the logical part of your brain can, as I like to call it, will come back online.
Yeah. And it really is the difference between the woman screaming bloody murder in the courtroom and your attorney saying later. Right? Like your attorney's almost.
She was my frontal lobes. Exactly.
Right?
Totally. And I think, Kate, don't you think that that's some of the work we do with people? We are the frontal lobes?
100%. Yes.
Right?
And it's not dismissing the emotion, right? It's contextualizing the emotion and creating the proper response, outlet and response. Right.
Exactly. And it's allowing you to have, I guess the thing people often talk about is like perspective. Like I've lost all perspective. And we talk about it with kids. We talk about like popping the lid, like the lid just goes pop off the pot and I can't. And it's really important. It's okay if that happens. Again, righteous anger, it makes sense. But that's when you need to ask for someone like Kate or me or your lawyer or your me for help, for guidance, for that frontal lobes. So I think it's really important to know that we want that to communicate, those two parts to communicate. And often it's hard during a divorce.
Yeah. And I know that I notice with my clients, I wonder if you notice with this with yours too, is that sometimes they get really confused. They're like, wait, I'm rationalizing this, but wait a minute, does that mean I'm like giving away the farm? Am I giving up? Am I like, right? Because we get confused about, because of the trauma confuses us.
Yes. Confusion is a huge symptom. It's one of the symptoms of trauma is what we call dissociation, which is, and most people think of that as kind of out of your body. It's been shown in movies to be like, you know, watching your body from above, but confusion is a way of dissociating. It's a way of not being grounded. And I always tell people, you never have to make a decision right in this moment.
Yep.
You can always say, I need 24 hours to think about it. Let me talk to my advisors about that. Yeah. Thanks for asking. I need a minute. Mm-hmm. Once you understand how the frontal cortex works, you can start noticing that confusion that you mentioned. And Kate, I see that a lot. And know that that's a trigger to give yourself some more time. Confusion is a state. It's not, you know, I think we feel, I'm sure you see this all the time with, should I stay or should I go? It's not like I should go, I should stay. There's this other thing of, I don't know, I'm confused.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a state.
Yes, absolutely. It's paralysis. It's
right.
Yeah. And, right. And self-doubt and like, oh, but is that, I work a lot with inner critics, you know, the inner critic mm-hmm. side, right? So this is,
yeah.
And so sometimes people get really, really confused. Like, I don't know, is that a critic voice or is that my guide voice? Like, I can't tell.
You know? Right. And sometimes for me, that certainly happens for me too. I get confused and I have to take time. And usually when I'm confused, it's because I'm moving too fast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. And I think in a divorce, I don't know about you, but I know my lawyer really made me feel like everything was urgent. Like, get back to me right away. I remember. And I really had to slow her down a lot.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that. I think that's a I think it's a really important thing is that, and one thing I keep telling my clients is don't forget, they work for you.
Right.
If people will say to me like, I don't know, can I slow down? Like, it feels like it's moving too fast, but like, I don't know. My attorney says, I'm like, yeah, no, they work for you. If this time doesn't work for you, if you want to put a pin in this for 3 months while you sort through your emotions, yes, you can.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's what's so good about having someone like you to work with when you're going through this, because I think a lot, I mean, I'm always, every day that I do this work, I'm more and more convinced about the need of a team, because everyone has their piece that they need to take care of. Like, if I had to wake up tomorrow and pay my taxes, I'd be screwed. I'm not a CPA. I don't know how to do that. Right. Like, the lawyer doesn't know how to take, and all of our friends are like mediators. Like, we don't know how to take care of the emotions. We're not a coach. We're not a therapist. Please do that with the right person. And then you can show up to us and we can do our work. Right. But you are not, like, your lawyer is not in charge of you. Like, you are the boss of you.
You're the boss. You're the boss of the process.
You're the boss.
Yeah.
Totally the boss of the process. 100. And there's no wrong way to do the process. If you're working with someone and they're telling you there's a right way and a wrong way, then they're not your person.
Right. And it's hard for women who, I mean, I say women, because it's hard for anyone who has felt so disempowered throughout their entire marriage to suddenly be like, oh, no, you have the power. Go ahead and take it from this like really powerful, strong attorney.
Yes. Right? Well, like, totally. And I want to say also, I have to throw this in as a shrink. One of the things that's so fascinating to me is our unconscious draw to people who we know. So very often we find lawyers, even divorce coaches, who mimic our old relationship.
Okay, all the time.
Fascinating, right?
That lawyer sounds a lot like your husband.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's totally understandable. It's like, have you at work, we do this too. You end up having a boss who's just like your mother. Like, it's this unconscious draw, just so you know, you haven't done anything wrong, but we just want to recognize it and then figure out how you want to act with it. Because the lawyer, you can choose whether you want to be in a relationship with them or not. The divorce coach, you can choose. There's so many and who have so many different styles. What's the right style for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is so true. I see it all the time.
Right.
Like, interesting that you chose another aggressive male who's diminishing your
needs.
Exactly. Exactly. And actually, Kate, you are going to love this because in my book, in the chapter I have about dating again, I created something called the Relationship Pattern Excavator, where before you start dating, and I'm happy to share the bonus that with your audience, even if they don't buy the book, I can share it with you then, no problem. Be happy to. Yeah. And basically what I say, and this is applied, I hadn't thought about this, applies to the lawyers too. It's like, let's do a very compassionate analysis, a really beautiful, just looking at curious examination of how you've been in relationships. What kind of people are you attracted to? What kind of people are you wanting to spend your time with? And how has that worked for you? No judgment, like zero judgment. I don't know if I've told this story on your podcast before, but the first person I dated and like kissed right after my divorce was this guy. I was having such a good time with him. We were hanging out. This was like our first date. I met him at a wedding, of course. And then we hung out a few days later. We're hanging out, we're having some wine. And he says to me, "You're a psychiatrist." By the way, I'm a psychologist, but okay. And he said, so does that mean you can prescribe me Klonopin and Xanax and Ativan? So I was like, ha, 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 ha. Kept drinking, had a great time, had a really fun night, stayed over. Next morning, went to sit my ass in a church basement of Al-Anon and laughed at myself when I realized what had happened. Like here I was like with another addict like this. It was just remarkable to me. And I thought that was so awesome because that was information for me. Like I keep finding this, I'm drawn to this. What's going on for me? Lovingly and compassionately.
And I think that's the key, right? The loving compassion rather than like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And like beating yourself up for it, because here's the deal. It took you one date. Maybe you slept over, maybe you had fun, like all that, right? It took you maybe 24 hours for it to sink in, but 24 hours was a hell of a lot better than however many years you were married to an addict.
Right? Totally. And he taught me so much, this guy. I'm so grateful to him because he taught me this pattern that I had. And he told me on the first date, like it was also great. It was so wonderful. And then I was really able to start figuring out what I didn't have in relationships. Like I didn't know that men in my case, as I'm heterosexual, could be humble. So humility became like the deal breaker for me. And then there were all these other men that I had never literally seen because humility wasn't something that was important to me. But when I started looking for that, I thought, okay. There was a whole new group of people.
Interesting. I like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sexy. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Nothing sexier than like, sorry, I made a mistake. I mean, are you kidding me? That's like my favorite thing in the world. I know.
Right?
Yeah. So I talk about in the book about creating a map of the things that are deal breakers to you. And they're not like, you know, call it whatever, the things you typically think, height, weight, or whatever. They're like willing to work on themselves, humble, curious, in therapy. Like,
that's a deal breaker for me.
That is in therapy.
A deal breaker for me. Therapy.
Love it.
To be in therapy. Like, yeah. I love it. Sometimes the people see on like dating apps, someone will say something like, sort of say like, hey, you know, hey, I'm in therapy. I hope that's not a turnoff or something. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Right. Like nothing sexier.
There is nothing sexier.
Well, because also for you and I who've been in these codependent relationships, like the fact that you could talk to someone else about your shit, thank God. Like I used to love when my husband went to therapy. I was like, oh, it's Wednesday. I think we're going to talk about what just happened on Tuesday. So that means Wednesday night, we always have these deep conversations, you know, like I don't have to do the work, girl. Like what?
Great. Exactly.
Oh, love that.
So, I'm going to stick to the heavy stuff. You also talk about grief and loss. You have a chapter on grief and loss. I mean, let me just say that we also have chapters on the formula for creating the life you love. You have a chapter on 7 self-care behaviors, 7 pleasure tools, right? So, and then the final chapter on living in the afterglow. So, I am touching on the harder things in this.
Great.
That's where I go.
Perfect.
The grief and loss, because these are the hard things, right? These are the things that are hard for people.
Yeah.
So how do you help people in the book and obviously in your work?
Yeah.
Through the grief and the loss, because it's real. And it's one of the hardest things, I think.
I think that's right. I think it's just like the anger. I think you first have to start with acknowledging that it's there and that it, I don't know for you, Kate, but for me, it's a process. It is a process of unpeeling and dealing with the loss over time. I share the story in the book that About 3 or 4 years ago, my ex-husband came with his son, so my children's half-brother, to our country house. So it was my ex-husband, his four-year-old son, and our two kids and me. And we were swimming in the pool. My husband was like making a barbecue or something. And they were swimming along, and I talk about this in co-parenting, I've spent a lot of time thinking about positive aspects of my ex-husband so that I can share them with my kids. And he's a very funny, fun, imaginative person. So we're having this really fun game in the pool. And I suddenly stopped and felt really sad. And I had this moment where I thought, shit, like, I don't want to be married to him right now. But there was a time when this is what I wanted.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And I have to grieve that. And I thought, damn it, I don't want to, I don't want to feel it. Another layer. 10 years later.
You've got a whole new life. There's another layer.
And I just allowed it, to be perfectly honest. I went inside. I cried. I told my husband. I told a friend. And I just felt the feelings of grief and loss. And I have an exercise in the book where I suggest that people really write the fantasy that they had. Like, we have to acknowledge what we thought. Even if you hate the person, there was a moment mm-hmm. where you thought this was going to be who you wanted to spend the rest of your life with. So write that story. And then we do this ritual where I have them transfer it to a tissue paper, because tissue paper, when you burn it really beautifully, and then you release it. But you have to acknowledge that that was your wish at one time. I think a lot of people, Kate, deny that part, and that's the problem.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think you also tell a story in a book, and in the book, and I hear this from clients and people in my Facebook group 24/7. I wanted this. This was my choice. I'm the one who wanted this. Why am I feeling all of this grief? I'm not supposed to. I thought this is what I wanted.
Exactly. Because we don't allow in this culture for us to have two feelings at one time. We don't allow for us ourselves, and I know you preach this all the time, right? To have what I like to call the golden and. Like, for the love of God and the goddess, why can't we feel both grateful we ended and sad that it ended? Why can't we have multiple feelings at the same time?
You're allowed to have two conflicting emotions. You are. Like, that's part of the human experience.
That's the beauty of being a human. Right?
Absolutely.
And yes. So, again, even when you ask me that question, in that statement that people are saying, there's so much shame. Like, I talk in my program about the women in my program are super women. I think you are a fucking superhero, man. I mean, you are unbelievable what you've gone through. Either you accepted that someone wanted a divorce, which is incredibly painful and strong and brave, or you decided this shit isn't working for me. That's incredibly brave. So there's no room when you're a superhero for shame. There's only room for compassion. And so if I just want to let your listeners know that they are so brave, they are doing the hard work, and the more compassionate they can be, they can bring an ounce of compassion that they give to other people to themselves. This whole process will be so much easier.
Amen, sister. Mm. Amen, sister. I feel like we should leave it there. Is there anything else you feel like people should know about your book? When does it come out? What's the date?
It comes out April 20th. It's available for pre-order now. If people before April 20th, if you want to go to my website, drelizabethcohen.com/books, then you will get enrolled in three free bonus workshops that I've never done before. So if you do that now, otherwise it's available Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and also it's available on Bookshop. And I just want to encourage people, that's a conglomerate of independent bookstores.
Let's buy it there.
Let's do that.
Let's buy it there.
Let's do that.
Yes, let's do that. That's great. And all of that information will be in the show notes.
Great.
And where can people find you?
You can find me on my website, drelizabethcohen.com, which is drelizabethcohen.com. And I'm here to answer and help and support any questions and any way that I can. I love doing this work. I'm doing this work. Now, I want people to know, I do believe that if we heal the trauma of divorce, especially women are going to change this world. Like, if we can release this trauma, watch out, world.
Amen. Again, amen, sister. Thank you so much for coming on, Elizabeth. I love talking to you. I
I love the work that you're doing. I love your book. I'm just so psyched to have you in my orbit. And everyone needs to go and pre-order this book. And it comes out on April 20th.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.